Following is a quote from a recent blog entry by Brother Neil Pollard, who preaches for the Bear Valley Church of Christ in Denver. And I believe Neil calls his blog Pollard Greens. He said, "I had a good brother make an appointment with me yesterday to ask me that big sobering question. He wanted to know what I thought the church's single greatest need was. How would you answer that? It is hard to settle on just one response, isn't it? You could say leadership. You could say belief in the inspiration and authority of Scripture. You could say more commitment. But what do you think of this answer? Our greatest need in the church today is divine dependency." Divine dependency. More than anything else in the church today, we need to be more dependent upon God. You know, before reading Brother Pollard's blog the other day, I hadn't really thought that much about it in those terms. But I'll have to say, I find it very difficult to disagree with his reasoning. He goes on in that article to say that pretty much no matter what we're trying to do, the best results grow out of a greater sense of dependency upon God. He says, "It is how we survive storms, cull sin out of our lives, reach out on those limbs of faith, and leave our comfort zones to perform greater service for the Lord." Indeed, I believe that we can explain a lot of our shortcomings, a lot of our hesitancy, a lot of our failures to do the things that need to be done by the simple answer, we're too selfish. We're too selfish. Our thoughts are focused upon ourselves. We need to depend more upon the Lord. Tonight, and most likely next Sunday night as well, I want to challenge us to think outside of ourselves. We need some regular reminders that our greatest need today is to depend upon God. And as we study this subject, I believe the first step in this subject would have to be the matter of coming to terms with our own inadequacies. Because after all, the greatest mistake that we ever make is the mistake of thinking that we can do it all. Thinking that the solution is within us, that the answer is here in me. No. We can't do it all. Not only do we see this as a great problem when we start trying to explain and understand why it is we haven't been able to make as much progress as we should, why it is we haven't been able to grow as we should, why it is we are not able to do this or that or the other, but this also comes to play very strongly when we're wrestling with difficulties and problems and struggles within our own lives, many times on a very, very deep personal level. Strangely enough, it's often when we are in the most destitute and desperate situations, that's when we feel like we're the ones who have to do it all. Sometimes the worse we think the situation is, the worse off we see our present distress, the more we feel pressured to come up with the answer, the solution, from within ourselves. It was 1965 when that classic Western movie, Shenandoah, came out, starring one of my favorite cowboy actors, Jimmy Stewart. Now, I don't know how much you remember about that movie. The only way you're going to remember this, I guess, is if you just happened to see it again last week. So let me tell you a little bit about it, because there's a quote that I want to read to you. Jimmy Stewart stars as Charlie Anderson, who was a Virginian farmer who was trying his best to keep his family out of the Civil War. His wife had recently died, and in this particular scene, we see one empty place set for his dead wife and the children gathered around the supper table. And Charlie begins a litany that the children had obviously heard several times already. He said, "Now, your mother wanted all of you raised as good Christians, and I might not be able to do that thorny job as well as she could, but I can do a little something about your manners." And he gestured then that they should all bow their heads, and he continues. And he said, "Lord, we cleared this land, we plowed it, sowed it, and harvested it. We cooked the harvest. We wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be eaten if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for the food we're about to eat. Amen." Doesn't that so perfectly illustrate the attitude we have sometimes when we're faced with immense difficulties and even in our relating to God, we somehow try to convey the message that we feel like we've got to fix it all ourselves without His help? No doubt about it. We need help. But God is able. I refer sometimes to the internet as the land of empty promises. Because for all of the good that it has, and all of the wealth of information and data, and the access that it gives us to all of that information, and all of the content that's there that we would never be able to come across in a lifetime of library work, at the same time, the internet is home and headquarters and hiding places for every kind of shyster and con artist, promising staggering amounts of help and advantage to those who are the most vulnerable because of their particularly desperate situations. You can go there and you can find promises of unclaimed fortunes of Nigerian cash. You can find promises of debt counseling or debt consolidation that will guarantee to free you from at least 80% of everything you owe to the credit card companies. You can find an endless amount of promises for dramatic, though healthy, weight loss formulas. Empty claims, hollow promises. That old adage, you get just about what you pay for, is still true. No matter what they promise, no matter what they say on the internet, if it's too good to be true, it ain't true. But there's a song that we sing sometimes. And I almost asked Fred to lead it, but I thought that I'd rather read it to you because it's a great work of poetry. It says this: 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. That's the truth. That's not an empty promise. That's not a hollow claim. God is able. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul said, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God is able. He is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. You don't have a big enough imagination to imagine more than God is able to do. You don't have a wish list that is so long that it will exhaust God before he gets to the end of it, insofar as his abilities go. He is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, Paul says, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." God is able to make all grace. Let me ask you something. How much grace is that? All grace. Is that a sack full? A box full? A train load full? No. It's way more than that. All grace. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. But you know, there's something else we need to figure out. Obviously, it's very clear that God is able. We need help. Our God is able. But you know, it wouldn't matter what he were able to do. It wouldn't matter what he can come up with. It wouldn't make any difference how much or how many resources he has at his disposal if he's not willing God is able, but is he willing? You see, all the help in the world won't do me any good if the one who has it isn't willing to share it. You know, maybe this would be a good time for us to take a minute to examine our own willingness. Because we've already owned up to the fact that we are in a position of dire need. We need God. And we want him to be willing to do what he's able to do. But what about us? Are we willing to do what we're able to do? In fact, we could turn the question this way. If God's willingness to help us is contingent upon our willingness to serve him faithfully and in the process help others around us, well, will we get his help or not? If his willingness is contingent upon our willingness, where will that leave us? You know, this is not an unheard of principle in Scripture. It's the principle that Jesus used to guarantee forgiveness. He guaranteed it as long as we're forgiving. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you." In fact, Jesus repeated that principle later on in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38, and even expanded on it, where he said, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And it's usually right here that we take it up and we quote it, because it says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And so there is certainly a sense in which God's help that we need so desperately is contingent upon us and our willingness to serve him and to help others. Oh yes, God is willing. In Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9, David said, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to his own glory and excellence." And how could we forget Philippians 4, verse 19, where Paul said, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Or John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "The thief comes in only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." God is able. God is willing. And so this whole matter of our dependency upon God is something that we really need to give some thought to. In fact, next Sunday night, I'd like for us to go a little further with this, because hopefully we've just scratched the surface, and in fact, we've simply done enough studying here to raise some really good questions. And so be sure and be here next Sunday night, and we'll study further into this matter of our need for God. And I'd like for us to, at that time, break it down and see how God helps us in our times of greatest need by His grace through our faith within His will. Now, if you're not a child of God, there is no greater need at this moment than the need to obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus as God's Son. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized in order that your sins may be washed away. If you've already done that and are already a child of God, but you've become unfaithful in your service to Him, the greatest need that you have right now is to restore that relationship with God. And God is the only one who can do that, and He can only do it if we're willing to come back to Him and in turning away from our sins, pledge ourselves to His will once again and seek His forgiveness. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.